All right, page 28. If you look at the bottom, there was a CoStar report pulled on Rock Ridge Villas 1 and 2. If you look at the very bottom, you see the United States, the median for everything in the United States was a 6, a 6.3, the top 25, 9. But what does it say under that? Branson. What's the median? 7.9. What did I use? 7.9. Because it says so. So if we're going to rely on CoStar, and they got the ability to do this because I saw the Christian County report, why didn't you go to Branson? It's in there. Are we picking and choosing? And even the Christian County one said 7.1. Where are we seeing 6? There's nothing that I found showing 6. So the point being this, we ran all of our stuff at a 7.9. Net operating income at a market cap. 7.9 is what CoStar said. It was below the national averages. It was 0.2 above the Springfield multifamily and 0.1 below what your bankers are telling you. So I'm not understanding where this is. Then I email the assessor back once I get the spreadsheet and I ask the question, how are y'all coming up with the 6? Crickets. So all we were wanting to do was have the discussion, and nothing. So everything that we did based on House Bill 613, it's the law in the state of Missouri. If it's a LIHTC with an active LURA, it qualifies for House Bill 613. It's net operating income at a market cap. Market cap, which we've been able to prove. So some of the stuff that I saw in the packet, it's conventional. Like I said, we have CoStar too. You pulled one from Lowell, Arkansas. That's my backyard. It's where we live. That's not even comparable to these. I'm like, are you kidding me? So, and I get the narrative of, you know, I can go out there and find stuff to fit my narrative. I want a 6. I'll go find something for a 6. But there's also something in CoStar you can do where you can query out affordable and subsidized. Was that done on this report? Never got an answer back. You know, just on the basic, where did you come up with your 6? You know, so then I get told I'm supposed to be up here on the 15th. I come, I get a room and stay up here for the hearing the next morning. I'm told it's canceled. So I've already spent money for a hotel to be up here. And at 5:07 the day before the hearing, y'all call me and say, hearing got rescheduled. So I'm a little, I'm like, come on, man. I've been up here, you know. I've waited for this hearing, and now here I am. So all of my apartments follow the same deal. Net operating income, it's not a 6 cap. It's a, like they said, if anything, 7.9, 7.7, or 8. Now, last point, the cap rates, and I think you were talking about it, we look at the age of the property. We look at the condition. We look at where it's located. There's not just one thing that you say, all right, our cap rate should be a straight 6. If you're Class A investment grade, maybe. If you're renting it out for $1,500 a month and you got marble, or you got granite, you got finished to the 9, the rent will determine the investment grade of the property, right? That's where you classify them as an A, B, C, D. None of these properties that we're talking about today are A class investment. They're not getting $1,500 to $2,200 a month. They're not finished to the 9. So that's part of it too. So in the Kansas deal, because I'm very familiar with Kansas, I worked that too. And it is different in the way that they have a sheet that, but they also do, they do include reserves. But some of the assessors will send me the template on Excel. I fill it out and send it back for them. Because they're basically going off of the income statements that we provide. So for me, the issue is, why am I even here? If the issue is, get down to what, where we did, it's the cap rate. That's it. Yes, you should be including reserves. Nobody talks about reserves on apartment complexes as a percentage. It's per unit. You can look on my realty rate sheet on the second page of it, and it's got national averages for reserves too. And so if you want to go to page 30 for apartments, the typical reserve, this is nationwide, is $454 a unit. That's nationwide. That's for everything. The minimum 170, the max 500 for apartments at the very bottom. That's your surveyed reserve requirement. I found through modeling that anything 0 to about 10 years, we use 250, 275. Once it gets to that 10-year mark and older, we bump it to 300. That's when more things start to go wrong, which they can attest to. And so, you know, that's just the way we do it. That's how I found that, you know, it works. But anyways, for our purposes, we use about $300 a month reserves.
Okay.
So do you want the rest of my handouts?
This was it?
That was one. I have five. I have four more. So I'm not going to talk about these. That was the case. That's the case for all of them. Then it's just plugging in the number. So if I can pass these out, I'm out.
Well, okay, let me ask you a couple questions if I can. First of all, understand, I don't know if you, I'm assuming you have BOEs down in Arkansas.
Right.
Or just a citizen board that's appointed
right.
by the commission trying to understand this.
Sure.
Because certainly you guys understand these things more than we do.
Right.
But we're trying to get educated.
Okay.
From the standpoint of what you want us to do, because you, as you said, it's just a formula she plugs in the assessor's office, okay?
Right.
What ruling that do you need us to make? You need us to make a ruling on the cap rate, and you want us to make a ruling on the reserve? What do you want? What is it that you think
right.
that we need to make?
What she referred to earlier is that basically they're doing IAAO income, which is International Association of Assessing Officers. Those are the classes she referred to, that she's taking her income approach and plugging in. And so an income approach, basically, without getting, you know, you're basically taking the potential gross, vacancy collection loss, add in any other miscellaneous income to get effective gross, taking the allowable expenses, reserves for a total expense, and then capitalizing that out. Now, you got two choices. Some boards, some counties say, look, we'll let you leave your real estate tax in your expense, but you can't claim an effective tax rate. Or you pull your real estate tax out of the expense and you can claim an effective tax rate. You can't double dip is what I'm saying. And so I don't double dip. I've pulled the real estate tax out of the expense. I've included the effective tax rate for Hollister, for Branson, for Forsyth, and that's the income approach. That's it. What I'm talking about is this right here. This is a copy of the House Bill 613. It's on the back of your deal. I've even highlighted this. For the purpose of this subsection, the term income-based approach shall include the use of direct capitalization methodology and computed by dividing the net operating income of the parcel of property by an appropriate capitalization rate not to exceed the average of the current market data available in the county of said parcel. Done. That's all I've done, and I think that's probably all these guys have done. And so if we're doing that and we're following the law, the only thing that we should be talking about today is her cap rate versus our cap rate, her evidence and data versus ours.
I understand.
Right.
So what cap rate is it that you believe?
7.9.
That should be applied to your project. And how
that's what I use.
Yes, how old is your project?
Well, they vary. I mean, so Countryside Properties, it was built in 1984.
Okay.
I'll just go down the list of the age.
Can I ask a quick question? Did you say that house bill was included in
this? It's on this one.
Can I see that?
Yes, ma'am.
It's on the very back.
And when was that passed?
All right, House Bill 613 starts on page 30. It says 2015. And if you go to, the entire bill is there. If you go to page 32, I've highlighted the section that I read to you guys. which is basically the nuts and bolts of this whole thing. So.
And you're using the 7.9 from the CoStar, basically, for that particular.
I'm using it from three different things. All right, I'm using it from the Springfield Multifamily Report. I'm using it for a band of investment that we develop. I'm using it from Realty Rates and the specific CoStar that deals with Branson, which is plausible to think that, okay, Springfield, 7.7, we come down a little bit further south to Branson, we're 0.2 higher. I'm okay with that. But that's what CoStar said. So I went with it.
Okay.
Do you say 7.5? Fine. Say 7.5. I don't care.
Understand.
I know what the numbers are going to be regardless of a couple 0.4, 0.2, whatever. So
my only question to you is, in Christian County, on the ones that you had there, what was your rate?
I can tell you. They're going to be probably the Springfield rate, the 7.7.
Right. So mine was 6 plus the effective tax rate, which brought you between 6.95 and 7.15.
See, that's the issue with the spreadsheets that I'll show you have up. I don't see that. I don't see 6 plus effective. That's why I had questions. I was like, explain the spreadsheet you sent me back, because there was no value. Yeah, there was no value. There was no, all right, here, I see the net, but what cap am I using? Is there a value you're recommending to the board?
But did you see the cap rate that says cap rate? Does it say
all
six?
All I see is a 6.
Point something?
No,
okay.
It just says 6.
It's supposed to have then the effective tax rate added on. That's what I'm looking for mistakes to.
No, yeah, so. It just had a 6. And that's why I asked the question, why? Why a 6?
Right.
Okay, but your 7.9 includes the effective tax rate.
No,
or does not?
It does not. 7.9 is the cap rate. No, 7.9 is the straight cap rate,
okay.
And then you add the effective tax rate to that.
Which would be about what?
It's going to come in right around an 8 and some change. It just depends on, because there's different tax rates for Hollister, Forsyth, and Branson.
Okay.
It'd be around 9%, correct?
Yeah. Well, so, for instance, you know, Forsyth, it's a 0.92 effective, right? So 7.9 plus 0.92, that's 8.82. And that's what I use for Forsyth.
Okay.
Any other questions?
So
okay. Are you asking for the same tax rate on all of your properties or just on?
I'm asking for the same cap rate on all of my properties.
Okay. And is there anything else with respect to, you said that it's just a straight calculation using those standards, but are you calculating this differently?
Is he taking the cap and then he's adding the effective tax rate, or he wants a flat for everybody, no matter where it's at, to be?
He's just talking about his properties.
Yeah, I'm just talking about his
own tax rate. They're all next to each other in the county, so, I mean, I have to come across with the same. That's why I did the 6. Plus the effective tax rate, which, like I said, winds up being 6.95 to 7.15.
Okay. What's the effective tax rate for Branson?
He said that was 7.9.
When you figure that, it's like 0.19 times whatever the levy is for that, wherever that building's at.
The effective tax rate for Branson is a 1.0.
It depends on which. It depends on which levy you're using in your section.
Here's my question. When I look up this house bill now, this doesn't exist in it.
It what?
This is from 2015.
Right.
So when I look at House Bill 613 now, this is not in there that I can find.
Well, that's the statute number.
Right, but the things change. And it was scheduled to go on the floor again. It has a lot of things about delinquent tax in there and homesteads and stuff like that, but I'm not seeing this particular language in the actual Missouri House right now.
Right. And the last thing I'll say about it is I've been to multiple board hearings in the state this year in Missouri, and this is just how everyone else does it. So until someone tells me differently, this is how we're going to do it, because it's the law of the land. And call Jasper, call Christian, call all these other candidates.